Welcome to Off the Road Again podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Ross.
I'm Spencer.
This is our podcast about anything and everything off-road. Tonight, as always, we are socially distanced. Even you guys are like, what, 45 minutes apart?
Yep. 45 minutes on a bad day.
Okay.
Depends what car Ross has that week.
That makes sense. I don't even have my show notes up, so I don't know what to say. I normally look
over the,
how many times have I said this shit
off-road.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Podcast about anything and off-road.
You guys are in the Northeast. I'm in the Midwest, which is no longer the Arctic Circle, finally. It is hilarious how
it's weird.
30 degrees and then 40 degrees can feel like an absolute heat wave when it's minus 11. Right. And with the real feel of negative 27, or like we were approaching the range of the thermostat where it doesn't matter if you're in Celsius or Fahrenheit, like negative 40 is negative 40 on both of them. Like just fucking miserable.
Yeah. It's weird because we're further north than you. Like we would drive
by
to Kansas
a lot.
City. It's a pretty southwest trajectory, but the jet stream and the just general nature of weather patterns means that we don't get that as bad as you do.
Seems like we always get it a couple days after.
Large body of water nearby that helps regulate your temperature.
I sent my dad and Spen an amazing picture a couple weeks back of the Long Island Sound and Long Island, and then like the New England area where you could see exactly where the water was making everything warm, and then where it was perfectly divided into wintry mix and then snow. It was so cool. Like, obviously, you know, actuality, what you're seeing on the ground and what they measure at the atmosphere where radar is taken are two different things, but these are all very, very different things from what Chris is experiencing in the middle of the country, which is the middle of fucking, you know.
Today's the first day where it just rained. It didn't then become an ice storm, or it didn't sleet or snow or just be sub whatever. Like, it just rained today, and it was almost like, but it was like incredibly dense fog. We're like, can we just get a sunny day in 45? Like, just give me. But because the temperatures did go back above freezing, like now it's our version of a mud season. Like the snow, there's still 4 inches of snow on the ground that is now melting off for the last 3 weeks. And so like the kids walking across the field to go to the elementary school, is my daughter fell down 3 times a day on the way home. So I got home, she's like, why'd she change her pants? I was like, well, she was a little damp. Like
at least you got a couple of laughs out of it, hopefully.
Oh, she wasn't laughing. Nobody was laughing.
But you were.
Were you, though?
No.
I watched my daughter trip 3 times today in the hallway in daycare, and I thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, that's because your daughter's not at the point to be like, I hate you for laughing at me yet. Like, that's by 5. That's there, Ross. Like, you're not.
Okay, yeah, I have a little time between now and then.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, all the snow on my driveway, because I didn't shovel my driveway, which we'll get to this, but that was very much to my detriment over the last 48 hours or so. But it all melted, and tonight it's all gonna freeze. So after this show, I'm gonna go out with my my little salty boy and attack.
So that was the crazy part, is like Monday it actually, like, it was an ice storm on Monday. Like there was a tenth of an inch of ice on top of all of the snow and the driveway. So like everybody's driveway is clear because the snow was 2 weeks ago. It's just been crazy cold. It's just been hanging around. But like Sarah left for work, and I watched her drift 2/3 of the driveway to the street with none of the wheel spinning. Like she was four-wheel drifting.
Like a tenth of an inch of ice is enough to like disable a neighborhood. Did you guys see Seattle over the last
dude's been everywhere. There've been clips of videos everywhere of people, like the fire truck was the biggest one, I think. Was that Seattle where the fire truck
was
just zipping around?
That was
terrifying.
Yeah.
So much weight moving that fast.
That guy came in with velocity, though. Like, maybe should have approached the situation knowing that there's ice with a little less speed.
The best was in that video.
He weighed more.
Yeah, the best was the video in that one, the guy screaming in the background, "Why'd he come down this road?" Yeah, I bet he's asking the same question now too.
Probably. Like, who covers insurance in that instance? Is it just like
the fire department, the city, whoever owns the truck, technically, Ross? Like, based on every cop show I've ever seen, anytime one of the departments fucks something up, it's the city that pays. So I don't know if that's real or not.
Tax dollars.
TV shows, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Some of those are documentaries. That's actually my favorite running joke, is to call anything that is actually fiction a documentary. Like, I saw this sweet documentary about dinosaurs the other day called Jurassic Park. It's awesome.
Oh,
loved it.
Man.
That's the best.
Did you see the follow-up documentary, Jurassic World?
Or Aquaman?
Yep. Which is funny. Weirdest story ever. Last night, I was struggling a little bit. I watched Aquaman on mute with the captions on.
Oh boy.
No idea why. Just music in my ears. It was way more entertaining just reading it.
It's pretty good. Pretty good effects. That is,
I don't know what to say about that.
It's called ADHD, Ross. You can do more things than once.
Speaking of struggle and nothing to do with anything, I watched a movie called Contagion recently.
Oh, no, thank you.
It came out quite a long time before the pandemic, and the parallels are disturbing.
I remember Contagion references at the beginning of the pandemic, and I'm not a horror movie guy.
It went from like in the 700s on the IMDb like click list to number 7, like that week in 2020. So, anyways, let's talk about some stuff that we usually talk about.
You're doing yours? You're doing mine? Where are you going?
Yeah, let me get my shit out of the way first. So the GX battery. So the battery in the truck died, what was it, 6 weeks ago? We talked about this. And I got it charged. Like, I jumped it myself, and then I kind of just let the truck charge itself. And I had no problem for all of that time until this past Saturday. And then I went to start it, and it was like, it wasn't even like you push the button and the lights come on and it starts cranking. It was just like, push the button. And it was like, dead. So I went to Costco and got myself a nice $108 Interstate 27F, which replacing the stock 24 class battery. So it's bigger. It's got more cranking amps, more cold cranking amps.
Does it fit?
It does fit. The interesting thing, and the reason I'm talking about this, is because with the GX470, Lexus used, apparently they used a 27F. And then for the 460, they used the same battery tray, but they bid the battery out to the lowest bidder, which gave them a 24 class battery. So they put a smaller battery in the bigger tray. So the solution is you go and just buy the bigger battery. So I did that, and it works great. And the truck's very happy.
Until you let it sit for another how many months?
No, I don't have any press cars lined up, which I should probably email Eric, because Sven, we are due for our annual Massachusetts Mecca. We do a yearly run. 2 years ago, Sven and I went to Massachusetts with the Jaguar F-Pace SVR.
That was the tiny road with the ice shelf and your summer tires, right?
It wasn't a road. It was a state park with a trail that we drove down, and it was on winters technically.
And Chris, that was one of those like -5 degree wind chill days. It was like, I really got to get out of this right now and spot him through this.
It was so cold. So 2 years ago, we did that in a very, very blue SVR. Last year, my dad, Sven, and I took the Cadillac CT5V Blackwing up to the same area.
Also very blue.
Just got some beer and mobbed home. But it's, I mean, this time of year in the Northeast, it's, if you get out of your normal loop to work and home, like, any of that is amazing. So yeah, we should get on that. Anyways, how did that come up? Why are we talking about that?
I asked Chris, if you were going to keep driving the GX, and you were like, I don't have any press cars. And you were like, I got to need to find a press car for this trip.
Tangents of tangents. So the GX, I'm still driving the GX. I have a set of BFGs to go on. And again, thank you to BFG. They will go on. Span, I need to talk to your dude at Mavis, because I stopped into the town fair that's right next to my house today.
Yep.
And they were like, we won't. Nope, you're bringing your own tires. No.
What?
Just no.
Seriously?
They will only do tires if you buy them there.
Oh, dicks.
So, that's
that. I'll give you the guy's name. Call him tomorrow.
So, I might try to drop it off sometime.
I feel like most Mavis places that I called, because I called a couple of them, they were like, yeah, no problem. Just drop it off whenever.
Yeah. I think Town Fair is more of like, because Mavis is like national, I think.
Yeah.
And
you guys have not set a brand that I'm familiar with yet here.
Mavis reaches broader than Town Fair. Town Fair is like Connecticut.
Northeast. Yeah, Connecticut. It's pretty Canadian. A little bit of New York.
Massachusetts. Yeah. Anyways, that's
what do you guys have? Like Pep Boys?
Pep Boys.
No Pep Boys. Firestone.
Jiffy Lube.
Oh, Chris, did you
I mean, everybody got a Jiffy Lube.
Did you Jimmy hear that Lube. Come and Go got purchased and they're changing the name?
Go and Come?
By Maverick bought them. Maverick was saying no more.
They're going to
the story the I saw wasn't that they weren't going to change the name of the existing ones. It's that they would no longer be producing more Come and Goes. They would then be Maverick stations moving forward.
Under the impression they were rebranding the franchises.
Sure. I'm okay with those. To be honest, the Maverick stations I normally find out west are like, and you guys aren't going to get this reference because it's another Midwest ones, are similar to a Quick Trip. And that's important to me because Quick Trip is magical and you guys don't have them. Yeah. It's like a Wawa.
Oh, beast on my way here. Wawa's like, if there was a place to stop on a road trip, Wawa would be the place.
Right.
For all your needs. For most of your needs.
Most of your needs.
For all your needs, it's the what's the Texas one? Is it Bucky's?
Bucky's.
The one with the beaver mascot. Yeah, that's Bucky's. The all your needs. Because it's like half a Walmart inside a gas station.
It's like, I mean, for all intents and purposes, Texas is the Walmart of the United States. So ta-da. Okay. Moving on.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm not gonna argue that. Guns and everything else, yeah.
For the nerds out there, I've been playing for the last few days with the Axial AX24, the 24th scale RC crawler, which
is that this thing that says XC1 on it?
Yes, it's this thing that I sent you pictures of. It is a tiny little thing with four-wheel steer, which I did purchase with my own money, and let the record show, I purchased two of them. That black one that you're looking at with black and green, the first one I bought because it is our podcast colors. that one got sent back because the front drive shaft basically moved the whole thing as it was like you drive forward and the whole thing would wobble because the front drive shaft was so unbalanced. But these are really cool little things for $150. It has four-wheel steer, which is awesome, and like full four-link long travel suspension, which for like RCs, and Spen knows how deep into the nerdisms of this I am. Like it's pretty cool for $150, you know, and it's got like, it has factory rock lights. Which is so cool.
Which that was the image I just pulled up was your rock lights showing it off.
Yeah, in the dark, the rock lights are rad. And, you know, four-wheel steer and long travel suspension is amazing, especially for like $150. But the body itself is like the cheapest of cheap Walmart special. Like if it was a $25 car, you know, then it would be overpriced kind of body. And the difference in quality between this orange one and the black one that showed up first is like, so you can hear the rear servo. Hear that? Barely. The black one,
yeah.
Like you turn it and you can hear it like almost across my house. And given I have a small house, but there are extreme variations in the quality, which is disappointing as I foray deeper into this RC nerdiness. So yeah, no, because like four-wheel store, the difference in, I measured it, difference in turning radius between this thing in just front wheel steer, it was 35 inches for a turning circle in front wheel steer. And in four wheel steer, it was 16 and a half. So if you think about that in the terms of your truck, like if you have a 40-foot turning circle on a truck, which is a good turning circle, like some of the 2500 off-road trucks have like 50 something.
Yeah, it sounds like Power Wagon service. Numbers.
If you could cut that in half, like that's what people get from going from a standard like street truck to like a buggy that they off-road with, and that's what this thing is supposed to do. But it has the construction of something that costs like $55. So that's that.
You're enjoying them, but not recommending them.
I don't recommend them. Spen knows I have an axial Can-Am Maverick thing that we've beaten the absolute shit out of. And I might keep this one because the four-wheel steer is amazing if you have a house that's less than 1,200 square feet. we're probably going to talk about RC stuff a little more because, like, you know, when you're not necessarily homebound, but like kind of stuck in the same area, you know, more or less, like the RC stuff is a lot of fun.
I will say that I was pretty skeptical at first. I was like, this is like what 5 year olds do, you know? And I went over to Ross's a few weeks ago and we were playing with that. So it's like, just play with it. And I was like,
Spen drove the,
oh my God, this is so much fun.
Yeah, I gave Spen the C2X Mojave from RC Four Wheel Drive.
Which I was like, I can do so many things with this.
Yeah,
I was like, I can do so many things and not cause damage that I actually care about.
Exactly. So I sent Chris this picture of the one on the. So I'm making an RTI ramp. Yes, that is the one.
Is that our tech deck thing?
That is so. It wasn't this past weekend. 2 weekends ago at my parents' house, I was just like going through random stuff in the basement. I was like, wait a minute, these are my old like, it's like 13, maybe 12, when those finger skateboard things were a thing. And I had like a skateboard park for fingers because I was not competent enough to do it with my actual body. So I had to do it with my fingers.
Yeah, you
so
did.
What?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Hey. So, So I'm in the process of building an RTI ramp for these things, and this is the C2X on the RTI ramp. So I'm going to do 20 degree, which is the standard. Like it's usually 20 to 30, but like 20 is the standard.
So what I'm hearing you say is don't tell Dan Edmonds about this because he'll also do his own version of RCs.
So I'm doing the less expensive, less labor and psychologically intensive version of what Dan does. So
I'm going to start expecting off-road content videos for the YouTube channel.
RTI. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Trademark.
Hashtag RCRTI. But like it's, yeah, you know, it's cool stuff to think about because like I have, you know, we've talked about like the Traxxas thing that Spen's played with before and that C2X, and then there's this thing that like it flexes basically completely vertically. I don't know if the camera picks that up, but like yeah. it'll go almost completely vertical with the front suspension, you know? So,
and the huge difference in size between them, like I knew that was going to, as soon as it came out of my mouth.
I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of room on Instagram if you want to start hashtagging some RCRTI. There are only 22 total posts for the hashtag. None of them are vehicle-based whatsoever.
Rickerty. Spen, you got that protractor? Let's actually build one.
Sorry, that's a word I haven't heard in years.
Protractor. That was my nickname in math class.
Go to my calculator and retired my fellow nerds to the nerdery.
Oh man.
I thought it was the pendulum.
Heard pendulum lately. And I
thought, yeah. You know, they used to call me TI-83 plus. Then they started calling me protractor.
I was horrible at math.
These jokes don't even make sense.
No, they don't. I saw a lady's post the other day where she was in the store and she was looking at graphing calculators and she was like, how the hell is a TI-83 still $115? It was $115 when I was in high school.
Yeah.
25 years later, it's still $115. How? Everything else has gotten cheaper.
Hey, if first of all, Texas Instruments, they don't need money. Second of all,
Their military contracts are doing enough.
If anybody wants to buy a TI-83 Plus for $115, hit me up. I'll sell it to you. Okay, sure, moving on.
That'd be a great deal.
Let's talk MagnaRide.
Fuck no. We're getting rid of that shit. No, I... So
Okay, fuck no as in buy MagnaRide. Like,
yeah,
okay.
Like, all of it's... If you're watching the YouTube live stream, my friend John has already like said like you need a Yukon, Chris, because he got a Yukon that I didn't tell him to buy. He did that on his own. And then I've been like slowly bringing him into the world of disposable GM vehicles. But my response to him when he said I needed a Yukon.
Spend time with my Avalanche, so he knows all about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told him I'm reporting this comment. So the Suburban, while it is the only vehicle that fits all six of us and then all of the other bullshit that we have to carry around, is just been a pile of suck lately. Like, I knew the brakes were getting ready to go. I Rock Auto brakes, rotors and pads showed up today for what would have been a quarter of the cost I was quoted for somebody else to do them.
And what'd you order? So,
do what? Power stop.
Spen, what did I tell you to order?
Yeah, no, I need brakes very badly.
Spen needs brakes on the 4Runner. And the first thing I said was get the ZXX kit from Power Stop. And then like less than 36 hours later, you texted me and were like, I got Power Stop brakes. I was like, oh, yes.
Dude, it like Rock Auto bundles it. Like, it's like, this is what you did. Like, this is like, it's here's the four rotors, here's the eight pads. Like,
yeah, here's the price of what it would be to do OEM stuff. And then,
yeah,
like two thirds or half of that. And it's actually like good shit.
It is good shit. And I'm pretty sure the UPS guy was pissed off at me because he like half drove through my yard to like put the boxes on the porch today. I was like, yeah, they're not light. Sorry, dude. Like, it
doesn't weigh that much.
He should all, like, dude, one of them is heavy as fuck. Like, it is.
Yeah, but that's just a guy hating his life. That's not.
Yeah, well, it's.
He's dropping heavier shit off, right, Spen?
Yes.
At his house. Yeah, so anyway, pads and rotors are here. I will add those to the Suburban eventually. It's not catastrophic failure yet on those, but. I had a cylinder take a shit. Let's see here. Number six.
Cylinder the fuel injector. Six.
Yeah, the fuel injector on injector. Number six. Yep.
Yeah. Ooh,
stopped working. Was... Had power, had fuel, no spray. Which is dumb as shit. So I got that replaced. They also did a...
you did replace the injector?
I did, yeah. I haven't. Oh, like, I needed it to work, Ross. Like, I didn't have time to wait for STP to show up. And then we did spark plug wires because those are spark plugs and spark plug wires. those are original with 194,000 miles. It was time to do that. And then I knew it was an existing issue, but the heater hoses were leaking and that's where I was losing coolant. So those were replaced. And my oil cooling lines. Yeah. My oil cooling lines were showing oil on the outside. So those were replaced. So the truck is back and functioning, but before it did all of this, I've had a, we've talked about before about the issue with the road noise up on the driver's left front.
And I just got an email tonight.
Yeah. With the brand new set of tires, it's still making a bunch of noise. I got my confirmation email tonight that the wheel, what are they called? Wheel assemblies? What am I? No.
Hub.
Wheel bearing assemblies.
Yeah. It's a pressed in bearing inside the hub. So there's two in the same, right?
Right.
I'm making that up.
It's basically all one. Basically, I'm doing three bolts and it's all going on. I'm doing ABS wire and I'm done.
Yeah. Or you could like press it out, press another one in and it's.
Yeah, I don't have to do that. I just have to do bolts. I'm good with bolts.
Yeah. But you're ordering the whole assembly?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it can.
Sven, do you know anything about this? Have you dealt with this on the back end of any side-by-side in the past, 12 months?
Like six times on the same quad. Yep.
Six times. That's a lot.
We've gone through this. It's because the pressing of the bearing into the hub, the labor that requires versus the replacement of the actual whole encapsulated two pieces. it's like the labor or the material, what's the lesser of two evils. So
right, mine's way easier than that. It's just three bolts, so I'm gonna do those. Well, six because I'm gonna do both sides. But I ordered them from Kryptonite Products, which I found through other Suburban stuff. And the reason I purchased them is they come with a no fine print lifetime warranty that literally says this warranty is against any manufacturer defects, premature wear, or breakage. And then it says race it, jump it, off-road it, wreck it, lift it. I think you get it. We don't care. If you can break it, we'll replace it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That might be the best warranty
I've ever heard.
Like, I'm on board with all of this. That's so straightforward.
That's the kind of people that we want building all of our shit.
Right. So those are on the way. I had a little bit of a panic moment because after I ordered them, I saw something that was like, hey, it could be up to 8 weeks before your stuff shipped. It's only been a couple weeks. And I think I did get the email today for the shipping confirmation. So the label's been created. I didn't see it in FedEx's system yet, though, so it better fucking get here soon.
That just means they created the label, but they haven't actually had it scanned and put into a vehicle for movement yet.
But my label's created, so it better get here before. I got road trips coming up, so I need this stuff.
Where are you road tripping?
Nah, we'll get into that.
You can tell me.
Yeah.
Northeast.
No, I just spent most of my day talking about road trips and shit. So
nowhere cool, Ross. Nowhere cool.
I genuinely doubt that, but
I 100% promise you, it's not somewhere I want to go. So
it's Connecticut. Start with F and end with Florida.
No.
Hoping you were going to say white? Yes.
I hate
this. Is it Texas?
No. If it was Texas, I'd go down and see Dave. Ooh. I do need to send him another email.
Yes, we should get Dave. I was actually thinking about him. I was going to text him earlier, and I don't know why, but there's a big park in Texas that we need to go. It's not Big Bend. Is it Big Bend?
Big Bend is way down on the southwest side of Texas. It's like literally the Rio Grande. Big Bend National Park. Yes.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Do you know how far away that is?
Oh, you might as well just go to Mexico. Like, we should do Baja. Yeah, well, like, would be closer.
I don't
know. If you go around.
So. Yeah, you got to go like around Texas to get down to Baja. So.
Yeah, but if you go by highway to get to Big Bend, like, you're going.
I can.
You're Hoffmeister kinking it.
Anyways. It's 2 days of driving either way is all I know. So
it's more than 2 days from here.
Well, for you, it's like 7.5 weeks.
Take a helicopter.
Yeah. But you could a Pioneer wagon train would get you there sooner, Ross.
I'm not going to make the Oregon Trail jokes. Anyways.
You can. It's all right.
Who has dysentery?
Yeah,
not me.
You died of malaria.
Yeah, I'm on the
Seven
trail.
Of your family members died fording the river. We get it. It's not gone well.
Yep.
So anyway,
it's snowing.
The other thing that's wrong with the Suburban is that the front mag ride struts were starting to leak. That was identified a while back, a little bit ago. I think when I put the Michelins on, that's when it was first reported to me that that was an issue. And it has gotten worse and worse and worse.
Which, and in all fairness, MagnaRide on the performance cars, 100,000 miles on them is like, that's good.
So
you're coming up on two.
Yeah, on the SUVs, they were only getting like 60,000 miles out of them. So I got the truck at like 120 something thousand miles on it. I don't know when they were replaced last. I'm assuming before that. So I'm at anywhere from like 70 to 80,000 miles on these things. Mm. A lot of highway. A lot of shitty roads. They're just shitting the bed. And I'm miserable in the truck right now. Like any bump, like the front end bounces a little bit. Like I hate driving it. I've got the drone of whatever wheel hub is dying. And it's just like, we drove the Sequoia to the last wrestling event because I was like, I don't want to drive the Suburban anymore. So I have found a gentleman in Florida named Max. He and I had a nice conversation today. I'm going to be talking more about Max and Max's products because he makes a bypass kit for MagnaRide equipped vehicles. It is amazing from what I can tell. You literally plug this piece into the OBD2 and it has a module.
Two quick things. Explain in extreme brevity what MagnaRide is and explain in extreme brevity why somebody would need a MagnaRide bypass.
So, the bypass I totally get. So, MagnaRide is the brand term for what everyone else calls magnetic ride control. So, the shocks have some type of electricity that runs through them that magnetizes the fluid in it that helps to stiffen it up before bumps or things and all that.
They have tiny little pieces also, of metal with electricity going through them and they use that to electronically control the stiffness and the softness by computers.
Please go find Jason Fenske's video on Engineering Explained because he had to have done it at some point in all of his YouTube
people a lot
amazing
smarter
videos.
Than us.
Yes, I'm not the... I was going to say I'm not the science teacher, but I literally was. I'm just
Florida,
not.
Of all places. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but only for a little bit.
You should have stayed. You might have done some good.
You have not spent enough time in Florida. Like, that is not, there's no helping Florida.
You might have done enough good to fill one of Ron DeSantis's fucking high heels.
Florida man exists. There's no stopping Florida. There's no amount of Midwest educators that you could bring down there that will change Florida. Florida man is real. You cannot
alienate any listeners.
There's
my favorite part is every listener in Florida right now understands exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. Also, sad New Hampshire face.
What were you gonna say, Spen?
There's a morning drive sports talk show in New York that every Thursday they have a segment called Did It Happen in Florida, where they just tell you an absolutely bonkers story. It's like, did this happen in Florida? And they all guess, and it's like, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like 95% of the time it did happen, didn't it?
That guy took an Uber to the bank to rob it and then tried to take the Uber home.
The guy in his underwear walking his pet alligator through the convenience store. Yeah, all of that shit is real. Like it... Oh, yeah. Anyway, I don't want to get too far down a rabbit hole of Florida stuff, but the nice gentleman I'm talking to about the MagnaRide replacement is based in Florida. So the reason you need a bypass is the vehicle is wired to talk to the suspension. The suspension talks to the vehicle talks to the suspension. It knows the role of the body, all of that stuff, to make sure it stiffens up appropriately. What's the, on the old 4Runners, Ross, what was it?
X-R-E-S.
Yeah.
And it's KDS, which became KDSS.
KDSS.
Which, but magnetic rod is smarter than that.
Yes, like, it is smarter than that.
KDSS is totally reactionary, and magnetic rod control, it's pretty reactionary, but it has the capacity to be proactive. Like,
right,
it knows that something's happening, so if, it can do things on the other.
If the front tire experienced something, it can prepare the back tire for that experience.
Yeah,
and that is part of that system as well.
Versus like at speed, KDSS it's not doing that. Like it'll prevent body roll at speed, but it won't do opposite corner stuff at speed.
Right. So it's nice, but when it is failing, it's awful, and they fail fairly frequently. 60,000 miles is the number I found a lot of times for the SUVs, mainly because like the SUVs just weigh so much.
Yeah, they beat those systems up.
Yeah, dynamically, it's not good in them either.
The 4Runner that I bought from you, I took the X3S system off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it had that like hydraulic canister, you know, that is effectively what KDSS became. And I drove it around for a couple days on what, because that wasn't there, were effectively non-existent shocks and springs. And I would hit the brakes and go boink, boink, you know, like pogo to a stop. And it was genuinely terrifying. So, magnetic ride, when it goes, is kind of the same thing.
Yeah. But well, and the Suburban already has a rake to it as well.
Yes.
Like the Suburban already sits down, so now it's like down even lower. So
after you remove the shit that was fucking with it,
yeah. So right, so which was the leveling kit I had on it, right? Mm-hmm. And my issue for taking the leveling kit off was the bottom bushing on the driver's side strut. The bushing is like moving back and forth. So like the shock is hitting the lower control arm under load, which was driving me nuts. Still does it. But I'm going to plug in this device to the ODB2 port that will tell the computer all of the suspension is acting fine the entire time. You're good. And as soon as it starts to tell the computers everything's good, then I can pull all of the electronic shocks or struts and shocks off from the front and the back. I can replace with conventional
coils.
Struts up front. A coilover. So the Monroe ones are the best budget friend. They recommend the Fox 2.0s as they're like, this is the best one you can throw up front. And you get about 2 inches of lift out of it, which, that's almost back to the leveling kit I was looking for. So if anybody has a friend at Fox who wants to send me some discounted shocks and struts, like we need to start reaching out to some people.
Is there anybody else that makes stuff like Bill Stein or anybody?
There are other things you can go with. I've just seen that the two I just listed are the ones that they seem to have the most success with. To be honest, the Monroes, they were like, that'll last the life of the vehicle. Wait a minute.
How long does your vehicle last?
I was say mine tend to last a little longer than other people, but we'll see.
Challenge
we'll see.
Accepted. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, well, I'm going to beat the shit out of those. And then for the rear, they were like, you can throw almost any conventional GM shock on the back. The springs are there. And the air ride, you don't really have to take the air ride off the back. You can kind of leave it. And then they have like dust plugs to go into the electronic ports where you would have been connected before. So that way you don't have shit getting in there and messing with the system anyway.
So expensive electrical tape. Okay.
Yeah, but like 3D printed things that click into the connectors and make you feel better. Like, don't rag on it. Don't rag on it. I want it to work. Don't jinx it, Ross. But once all that's put in, it should, the ride quality. I talked to Max a little bit today about like my 03 Yukon XL, and he was like, oh yeah, we can get you right back to that ride. And I was like, thank the Lord, because that thing rode amazing. Like,
there's no SUV ride, no body on frame SUV ride like that era GMT
800.
Yeah, no. They're just, it, like, it was just, because there wasn't the weight of the body that safety regulations and modern technology carried with it that made ride kind of uncomfortable. It was still like the 90s, like, oh, it was, you, like, got it was, traction control and airbags, you're fucking good.
Dude, it was, and Cadillac, like, floaty. It was fantastic.
It
was, but
it really was, because it was like, it was, I mean, 90s GM Cadillac, but tech that,
yeah,
made its way into all the other trucks.
Yeah. But that truck felt planted though. Like that all wheel drive system, the 6 liter V8, like I hammered some on ramps in that thing. I loved it.
Yeah.
If it hadn't started to shit the bed at 248,000 miles, I would have kept it, but it was going great. To be
they're,
way more
great trucks. Expensive. You know, I'll defend the GMT 800 Avalanche.
Yes, I know. I'd
die. And even like the Tahoe with barn doors, so good. They still look good. You find one with like a clean Z71 Tahoe with barn doors, and it's not fucked, call me.
Sorry, I don't like the barn doors. I'm a liftgate guy.
Oh, I love the barn doors. Right.
Yeah, I like standing underneath something when it rains, guys. I like the liftgate better.
You can open the barn doors and put an umbrella on top of them, and then you don't get rained on.
Or you could just sit in the car.
Or you just
what? There's no rain gutter at the back of the vehicle. The umbrella puts the rain on the roof, and then it comes down and goes right down on you.
If the umbrella is on the back of the roof... with the side, if you have a big enough umbrella, it's on the roof with the
all those umbrellas have going. Ridges to the edges. They're not, none of them are flat about, tight okay. seals.
I just have a roof lived tent. This but I am now living the Lexus GX life where, oh, it's raining and you have a
side door
side, yeah. Oh, sad.
Can you open your glass with that giant spare tire on the back?
I can.
Okay.
It does, in fact, open. Yeah.
I'm just curious.
That doesn't have anything to do with whether it's raining or not.
Well, it just means it wouldn't be... You get a little coverage from the glass, like it would be...
No. No, you just sit in the car and cry.
Sit in the car and cry. Hey, do XC90s have split tailgates?
The first gen XC90 did.
Did it?
It did. The second gen does not. And fun fact about, why are we talking about XC90s?
Tailgate?
Yeah, but why are we, why
is it just, that was my pivot. Topic? It was, I was looking at one in traffic the other day and I was like, that looks like it's got an up and down.
Yeah, the first gen XC90 had a split tailgate, and it was the only vehicle to ever have no recorded deaths attributed to it.
Well, isn't that Volvo's goal by like 2030 is that nobody dies in a Volvo?
Yes.
For like all Volvos? That
vehicle is on sale from like 2004 to 2012, maybe. I don't know. tapping out. Okay. Can we talk about Spence 4Runner?
Yes.
So we can like go somewhere.
We've had some changes in the 4Runner recently. So I need brakes. I need brakes? Okay. Yes.
Well,
you need brakes.
Yes. We're stopping gonna... would be nice. Oh, how many miles actually, one second. Just to throw it back to the Avalanche for 1 second. Chris, one time, I did lose my brakes completely. truck filled with smoke. I was driving back to campus and was like, I can either go down this hill into town and take out like 50 people, or I can pull a 90 degree right turn at like 40 miles per hour and go into campus. Just keep driving up a hill. In a circle. And I just drove in, I drove in a circle around a parking lot and just threw the e-brake on.
Did you at least like downshift to low? Like, did you try to like get the engine?
I coasted. I threw it in neutral and just coasted, and it just kept going. And then I finally just got slow enough. I probably circled for like 10 minutes. Yeah. anyways,
that truck was surprisingly not rusty underneath, but the
800, but it was abused.
The 800 by Ross. Brakes, the brake lines were notorious for having their time.
Anyway,
so we'll figure out your brakes.
Yes.
I'm not going to do them, and you're not going to do them, but we are going to get some good brakes on your truck. But you don't need as good brakes as you thought you needed, because you have much lighter wheels and tires on each quarter. So why don't you tell us and tell everybody listening about them?
So the last set that I had on, let me just start by saying what I used to have. I used to have Falcon Wild Peaks. I had gone up to 275 70 17s
on a 2022 4Runner SR5 with a 2-inch front level.
I have front and rear, the Pro Comp front and rear.
I didn't notice one. I haven't seen that picture. That's actually a good picture.
I think it's two in the front and three in the front, two in the rear.
That's called school bus.
Yeah. No, that's not. but
Ross is getting canceled. Okay, continue.
If that's what gets you canceled,
we don't have a big enough audience.
And I had
watching the morning show. Yeah, watching the morning show. So,
and I had bought some knockoff TRD replica wheels. Problem with those was that the weight per corner was just ridiculous. It was not light. I was, Russ, what did we figure it was?
It's like 32 or something.
No, those are the new wheels.
No.
The old wheels.
The new ones are like 25. The old wheels were like the TRD
Pro. Oh, yeah.
The TRD Pro knockoffs that you had were like 32 pounds per wheel.
Yes. So that set I could never balance at all. I just never got them balanced, never rode well. I had them on for probably about 55,000 miles.
Which 55,000 miles from an all-terrain tire is
unbalanced and
pretty good.
Yeah, I mean it was pretty solid. I got good use out of them, but I was not I was just ready for a change. I had Toyos on previous vehicles and really liked them. And so thanks to Toyo, we were able to get some tires in and throw some open country AT3s on. And I went down in size to, I went back down to 265s.
Right, so a few problems here. So in going
the
up
same
to,
width as a Suburban.
In going up to the bigger tires that you got for the 4Runner originally,
it rubbed the shit out of the fender.
Yeah, and they were what? They were E-rated tires.
Yes,
which for a daily is like just so unnecessary.
Yeah,
and so heavy. And like, what did we say they were? They were like 56 pounds a tire or something for those Falcons.
I was up around 90 pounds a corner between the wheels and the tires.
Yeah. Which is more than I have for the 285s with the Motegis. And like, that's it's a lot of weight. Like, unsprung mass is an enormous impact on just drivability in general. Also, this is a great picture. This is a really pretty picture of this set of wheels and tires.
And yeah, thanks. I took it with my own hands.
It's a great picture, but it also really maximizes the fact that you need to fucking take those lug nuts off and spray paint them black.
They
look good in red at first because I got them when I had the TRD wheels or knockoff TRD wheels. And so there was red in it. And I was like, this looks awesome.
You went from 32 pounds per wheel and 55 pounds per tire to 25 pounds per wheel and 39 pounds per tire.
Yeah, and it's noticeable accelerating in it. quite noticeable. I'm not saying it's a rocket ship now, because it's not.
Right, but
no, the 4 liter is the 4 liter, and like, it's never gonna be a rocket ship. Like,
yes,
my stock fifth gen 4 liter wasn't noticeable. A rocket ship. But are you getting like 40 or 50 miles per tank more?
No, I'm also driving like an asshole, and I'm going to be upfront about that because I am like ooh, I can accelerate a little bit harder now.
You don't get that resistance in the gas, right? Like, you put your foot down, and you're like, oh, it doesn't like, I don't have that pushback.
It's not screaming at me to say stop. But I'm getting probably 1.5 miles per gallon better. It probably comes out to about 40 miles, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, on a 23 gallon tank, that's significant.
Yeah. So just to finish the setup, we also put the American Racing AR172s on, which Ross, you should get. and they look awesome. The craziest thing was that when I got the wheels and I weighed them, I weighed each one individually, and there was only variation by like, I think the biggest variation I had was 0.2 something pound. Like, really? They were all almost exact.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Which scale? Is that the scale in shipping?
Yes, that's the UPS computer scale.
Okay. That scale has seen some shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I used to stand on it when I was a kid. But
sounds like you weren't the only one based on Ross's reaction there.
Hey Ross, what you put on that scale?
No comment.
It rides incredibly well. Super quiet. And I was able to get them on like right before we had about 2 inches of snow, which was great to just go around the neighborhood and go down some streets and say, let's see what this thing does in the snow. And I tried as hard as I possibly could, and I could not lose traction.
I love Toyas in the snow, especially the open country AT3s. Like, they're in the Sequoia.
Locked up brakes. Yeah, I locked up the brakes on a bunch of pretty big hills and just could not lose any traction. Russ, I took it on.
It's what Sarah has on her Sequoia in the ice storm the other day, and she made it to work. Like, it's nothing's supposed to work in the ice, but yet those Toyos powered through. Like,
adamantly pro Toyo AT3 on this show.
Yeah, and I don't want to discount the Falcon Wild Peaks at all, because I did drive those in the worst ice storm I've ever been in my life, and it was pretty soon after I had gotten the tires, and I am convinced that I would not have made it to work if not for those tires. If I still had the stock 400 tires on, I would not have made it.
No chance.
And I was the only person that was able to drive on the roads that day. Like, everyone else was just in the trees. Yeah. Like, yeah. I would stop, but I can't. I was like, I really wish I could help.
In those situations, though, it's 25% tire, 75% driver. Like,
yeah, but bad tires don't leave you a ton of
options. Tires don't help, but ice is not friendly to, you know, starting or stopping or turning or like anything. Yeah. In terms of
putting out fires in a fire truck.
Yeah.
Hi, Seattle. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, new setup is great. And it has kind of, in a way, it was also because the ride quality was just so bad because I had never balanced the last wheels and tires.
It wasn't ride quality. It was the fact that your steering wheel shook back and forth violently at speed. Chris, I'm not exaggerating. At 65 or 70 miles per hour, his steering wheel with the Falcons and those fake TRD Pro wheels, the steering wheel would vibrate like both front tires had been like hit by a fucking like sledgehammer.
Sounds like death wobble.
By Thor.
I notoriously drive with my knees where I'm like shoving some chips in my face or something. And I'm like, I'm just going to steer with my knees. I could not do it with them.
I've been,
like, you have to, you had to have your hands on the wheel.
I've been in Jeeps with death wobble. That was less bad than how those tires weren't balanced. And that's not just limited to you. Like, fake TRD Pro wheels is one thing. People have had instances of those being poorly balanced. And the Falcons are also not notorious, but a lot of people have had issues with the Falcons being hard to balance.
So, yeah. But it has, in a way, kind of like rekindled my love for the 4Runner, because I felt like when I originally got it, I was like, wow, this thing is great. It's reliable. It starts every time I go out there. I never have to worry about it. Like, it's super easy to maintain. Mm-hmm. And there were all these things that I loved about it. And then I kind of got into that lull where I was like, I don't know how much I love this thing anymore. I really like it, but I don't know if I love it. And getting these wheels and tires on, just aesthetically looking at it, I'm like, damn, that looks really good again. And then I'm like, kind of hot. Like, I kind of like you. You want to go home?
Yeah.
I hope you want to go home, because that's where you're taking it.
Yeah. You don't have an option on this one.
Exactly.
It's consensual. It's a
consensual thing.
Yes, 100%.
It's such a weird dance to live, because you need to rely on that truck every day. And like,
yeah.
You and I have talked up and down about how the perfect car for you is a Golf R with the back seats folded down, but like,
yep.
Two things. First of all, if you get a foot of snow, you're not getting where you need to get with a Golf R. And
yeah, I'm not like, throwing Toyos on the Golf R.
Like, sure, you can you could get on there with a Golf R if it's plowed, but you can't guarantee that where you need to go is plowed. And correct. Also, like, just the reliability factor of things.
Yeah.
You know, like, there is, as of this recording, it's Tuesday, January 23rd at 10:17 in 2024. I don't think there is a more reliable vehicle on sale than the fifth gen 4Runner. The GX 460 is no longer on sale. You can't get one. So I don't think there's a more dependable vehicle.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not just limited to age, but also mileage. Like, you can pile miles onto it, which is something that I do. Yep. You know.
What year is your truck?
22.
How many miles are
it? I bought it in late October, early November 22. 21. No, 21. I bought it in 21, but it's a 22. Okay. Yes, I've had it for 2 years.
That makes sense.
So you've had it for two years and change, and you have almost 60,000 miles on it.
No, I have more. I have almost 63 now.
Oh.
Yeah.
In 2 years. That's a lot. That's okay. A lot. I thought I drove a lot last year, 22,000 miles. You're at 33.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so. I'm doing on average 600-ish a week. So.
Good Lord.
You know, yeah.
I've been there. I've done 35 a year, so I know life.
No wonder you guys flip vehicles so fast. You spend so much time in them.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I got rid of the Wrangler so quickly and bought the 4Runner. Because I was on the highway all the time. I was like, oh my God.
This is miserable.
This is so loud. I was like, first of all, this is so loud. Second of all, there was no dead pet. I know Ross said, you know, you said that you could buy one, but there was no natural dead pedal next to the clutch. It was just, and I had just torn ligaments in my ankle, and I was like, this sucks.
That time
my ankle hurts every day.
That time was really not good.
Chris, it was very funny, actually. I got the Jeep, I got the Wrangler the day before Ross and Sam and I went down to Delaware.
So, first, to back up on the story, we are in the off-road world because our dad had a YJ Wrangler that he indoctrinated us with. Sven and I did what we will hopefully again do at some point in our life, and we ordered almost identical vehicles.
Identical, just different colors.
Different colors, and I had like two different options on mine through the same dealer, and we were planning to just drive, you know, fly down, drive back with them. And Sven took delivery of his, and I didn't of mine because I bought a house and had a child.
Cooler than a Jeep.
Yeah.
And both cooler than a Jeep.
Sold the 4Runner that you sold me and sold the Miata to somebody named Spencer. And, you know, bought Dan Edmonds' Jeep and then found out that I was having a kid and sold Dan Edmonds' Jeep. So. Weird fucking world.
Yeah. But the first time Sam saw me with that Jeep, she was like, Ross, I don't think he likes it. I just got it the day before. She's like, I don't think he likes it. I was
you had a bad delivery experience with it, which probably didn't
help. Getting it shipped up from Tennessee without the dealer was what was the dealer's name? I'll think of it. But he was incredible to work with. But just getting the just organizing the shipping on my own without actually going down there myself to load it onto a truck was a nightmare.
Should have just flown down, driven it back. Like,
should have.
Anyways,
I'd say it's 2020.
Anyways.
I don't know. I think we're at the end.
Yeah.
Spence 4Runner.
He went from the Jeep to the 4Runner.
Went from the Jeep to the 4Runner and has had to think less in the 60,000 miles that he's owned the 4Runner, less about how much he hates it than he did in the 60 hours that he had the Jeep.
It was like 25 days.
25 days.
30 days. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll round up.
Dude.
Fair enough.
The current fifth gen face started in 2014.
Yep.
Has now been around for a decade.
Yeah.
How long ago do you think they paid off the tooling?
By 2013, I think they paid off the tooling.
Like before it was even out with the new face, they'd already paid off.
Because they tool a lot before it's actually going.
And
deposits.
If anybody has a four-cylinder fifth-gen 4Runner, let me know. curious.
I got one. You want it?
You don't know.
Four cylinder?
No, you don't.
Oh, no. Never mind. I don't.
They made an unknown number of four cylinder fifth gens in 2010. And it's a curious abomination of things. I'm
is that curious. The one that was only rear wheel drive, too?
No, I believe it was four wheel drive and two wheel drive option. So, yeah.
I heard 4Runner and I was like, you want it? Yeah. You want it? You got it.
He just gave me a great deal. He spent all that time talking about how much he loves it again now. And he's immediately like, do you want it?
If anybody listening or anybody who might tangentially be listening knows a company that makes superchargers for the fifth gen 4Runner, like Magnuson, or you know, companies like that, contact Spencer Ballot.
Yes, it's very easy. SpencerBallot@gmail.com.
There you go. There you go. Because the trajectory here is Spencer has a Can Am Manorick.
I said race car?
No, not race car. No, Sven has a Can-Am Maverick. Our general plan is to unfuck its problems in the next...
Lots of problems.
Next 3 months. Is 4Runner. We're going to keep being awesome until the day it dies. In 10 years, when it has 500,000 miles. then he's going to buy... So in the interim, some kind of, you know, fast vehicle that he can dick around with on the daily and weekend. But a supercharged 4Runner would be a pretty great daily for him. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That would make a big difference.
Hit us up.
Yeah.
Towing a.
I'll clip that out.
Yeah. Hit us up. Hey, hi, Magnuson. Hi. Spen's girl at Toyota told us that if we did anything to it, it would be covered. So.
Yes. Yeah.
She girl didn't in say that forced induction like, wouldn't be covered.
She's like, whatever you do to it, it's not going to void the warranty. I was like, you bet.
Are we? Can I get that in writing?
It's funny, I actually left her a voicemail like a month ago. I left her a voicemail like a month ago to be like, so I'm thinking about doing a supercharger, and I was wondering if it would void the warranty, and she never called me back.
She probably doesn't work there anymore, first of all.
Oh, she does.
Second she of all, does. That dealer's been great to you. You had
yeah, they have.
What was the problem? You had a
rear... When I sold the Wrangler... No, when I sold the Wrangler, I... Oh no, that was a different dealer.
No, oh, was it
different dealer you, with the rear controller?
We're actually still recording. This is remarkable. Spen had one of the only problems ever recorded with a fifth gen 4Runner in the first 100,000 miles,
which I am convinced was a result of driving 55,000 miles with horribly unbalanced wheels and tires that were just abusing every joint possible in the thing.
What was the problem and what was the
so
fix?
I had a
quickly
I had a squeaking
we have 3 minutes.
Yeah. I had a squeaking off. Wouldn't be the first time. I had a squeaking in the front right, and so it was only happening when I turned. So took a video, sent it immediately to Ross, and was like, do you think my tie rod could be fucked? Doesn't seem likely. Like,
how can I tell anything from this video of dirt?
But it's like I'm parking the truck and I'm just turning the wheel, and that's the only time you hear the noise, and the noise sounds like it's coming from the front right. Turns out it wasn't the tie rod. It was the rear control arm that
It was
somehow
one of those amazing instances of noise, like just any kind of movement in the steering wheel, flexing the chassis, and sound traversing metal and going from
the unibody underneath.
Not unibody, yes. Body on frame. And,
right. Sorry.
And
yes.
And so
body twist. Any minimal mechanical, physical metal twist doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when I brought it to the dealer and they said it's a rear control arm, I said, there's absolutely no way. I heard it, the noise. It's coming from the front. And they're like, all right, well, we'll just replace the rear control arm anyways. And then if that's not it, we'll investigate further. So I said, okay, great. And the funny thing was about a...
Ding.
Yes. And the funny thing was about a week later, I was having service totally separate on a machine at work. And the kid that came in to service our machine told me he used to work at Toyota as a tech. I told him what was going on immediately before I even mentioned a rear control arm. He's like, oh, rear control arm.
It's a known issue.
I was like, what the fuck?
Because for the fifth gen 4, like that's there are known issues like that.
Yeah. You know?
Crazy.
Yep.
So
that's a great spot to end. Yeah.
It's like you're the one person that found a problem.
Yeah. Leave it to me.
Leave it to you. And your knockoff TRD Pro wheels.
Yes. If anyone wants to buy them, I still have them.
We've done such a great job selling them tonight.
No, they look great if you want to make tables out of them.
Coffee tables.
Yeah.
Side tables.
Put them on the Can-Am.
And so you can suffer on the can. You just said you're gonna have to take three months to unfuck the Can-Am. Like,
yeah, my wheels are my front wheels are pointed at each other.
Oh, speaking of end links, yeah.
Diametrically opposed.
Yeah. Yep. I did see a new Ford Explorer like that one day in the middle of a street, and I was like, "That's an issue,
dude." I was on my way to pick up Pat from the train station, and I was behind a current generation Ford Explorer on Pollo mud terrains.
Oh.
Like, the most unreasonably aggressive tire for that kind of vehicle.
Yeah.
Like, what are you
saying? I saw this today while I was in traffic. And I was like, how do you know he's never lowered his tailgate?
You're like, that's not a Mack truck.
It's not a Mack truck. That light is not, whatever light he purchased to add LED lights there is not sized for to go below his tailgate. It goes across either edge of the tailgate.
It just crushed. It's going to crush it.
Right. I was like, what? So you just know he never, and like at least the tonneau looks like it's been opened before. So like he's still using the bed, but I was also, just like, that is odd.
That Chevy badge that's not there from the factory.
This one?
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't have it turned the other way.
There's a lot going on.
I was behind a truck. A, like 1980s Ram Charger pickup after I dropped Pat off at the train that had like Trump 2020, like all like every single one of those fucking stickers on the back. I was like, oh my God,
never surrender.
How are you in Stamford, Connecticut? Like, what the actual fuck? You know, you can't, you're not, how?
As my 12-year-old would say, you are not him.
Oh, God. Like Connecticut plates, not even like Connecticut, like Spen knows there's white Connecticut veteran plates. Not even that. Like, just straight up.
I can't wait for Ross to experience Gen Alpha vocabulary.
Oh yeah,
because dealing with Gen Z vocabulary fucking sucks. So Gen Alpha vocabulary is going to be even weirder.
Is that what Daisy is?
Daisy's Alpha. Yeah.
Hieroglyphics.
Dude, the more I hear Gen Z talk, the more I am actually like on the team of Idiocracy is a fucking documentary, and that shit's going to be real.
What is a documentary?
I mean, at the time it was satirical. Now it's starting to become real.
I'm telling you, I watched Contagion recently, and it was not a like big movie. It was a documentary. I don't know if you guys have watched that movie, but it is eerily.
No, I don't do horror films.
It's really not a horror film. It's like a thriller kind of thing, but it was like
Michael Jackson.
Huh? I've watched that one.
No, it was like 2011, and the parallels with COVID. Like I was watching, I was like, is this just? It was prediction. There was no. Yeah.
It's 9 years early. Yep. All right, I'm gonna wrap up the show. Because both of you look tired all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So many just not good bobs. Sven, our YouTube channel is going to be called Not Good Bob.
NGB.
No, it's not. That's sad.
We always wanted to make t-shirts when I was a young teacher that said GFY on it. And we would tell the kids it stands for good for you.
Good for you. Well, that's
in reality.
Like,
everybody knows.
This is on the record because we are recording. Pat, who was here earlier, we spoke about, he wanted to do the thing where it's like a garage, but you fix your own stuff. So, like, you basically rent space. So
you rent the bay space, basically, right?
Yeah. So, my pitch was the brand name is called Fix Up Your Own Stuff, Foyos. But that's a misnomer because it's in actuality, it's fuck up your own shit.
Fuck up your own shit. Nice.
That works.
Yeah. So.
You can rate and review us on iTunes. No, iTunes. Good Lord. Ross.
Spotify.
Clearly, I opened a show notes because I wanted to read the end of it, and clearly you copy and pasted from a very old show on this one.
I didn't.